You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
And welcome to Wise Guys, These Guys Know Sports, here live on this beautiful Friday, March the 10th, in the house with your boy Trey Larkins on the Wise Guys Sports Show. Everybody remember, go follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H, also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Come on in and sit a while, folks. I got an action jam-packed show on this afternoon drive. On your way home from a long work week, get your weekend kicked off with your boy Trey Larkins on the Wise Guys Sports Show. Great topics I'm going to discuss tonight. I'm going to talk about Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens placing the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar Jackson. Also later on in the show, I'm going to discuss the Phoenix Suns. They're going to be without Kevin Durant for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Kevin Durant injured his ankle in pregame warmups the other night. It was supposed to be KD's home debut with the Phoenix Suns. So they're going to meet out on KD and miss KD for the next 2 to 3 weeks. I'm going to discuss whether or not I still believe that the Phoenix Suns are title contenders even without Kevin Durant. Also later on the show, Aaron Rodgers possibly may be on his way out of Green Bay and on his way to the New York Jets. Are the New York Jets contenders with Aaron Rodgers? I'll get into that as well. Draymond Green versus Dylan Brooks is beef in the NBA, is beef in the Western Conference between the Grizzlies and the Warriors, and specifically Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks. I'm going to get into that as well. But the number to dial is 513-203-8655. 513-203-8655 is the number to dial if you want to discuss a certain topic. You hear something that I said that you don't like, feel free to call into the Wise Guys Sports Show. We can talk about it. But we begin in the NFL in Baltimore as the Baltimore Ravens recently, in the last few days, they placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar Jackson. This allows him to negotiate with other teams. And before I get into my thoughts on the Ravens placing the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar Jackson, I want to first explain what exactly it means that the Ravens, when they place this franchise tag on Lamar, and it's specifically the non-exclusive franchise tag. The non-exclusive franchise tag means that it's a $32 million contract for one season, and the Ravens are now allowing Lamar to go out into the open market. And if a team wants to try and give Lamar Jackson a better deal, the Ravens have the ability to match that particular offer, and whichever team wants to sign Lamar, they would have to give the Ravens 2 first-round picks. And the Ravens can match whatever offer other team would give Lamar Jackson. Whatever offer that team wants to give Lamar, the Ravens would have the right to match that particular offer. And again, even if the Ravens don't want to match the offer, that team has to give the Ravens 2 first-round picks. Now, the difference between the non-exclusive tag and the exclusive tag is the Ravens would have had to pay Lamar Jackson $45 million this upcoming season, and Lamar would not have been able to negotiate with other teams. He would have remained a Raven, and basically they would have had him under contract for this next upcoming season at $45 million this year. But he wouldn't have been able to negotiate with other teams, and no other team could have offered him a contract. So that's the difference between the non-exclusive tag and the exclusive tag. So, with that being said, the fact that the Baltimore Ravens offered and gave Lamar Jackson the non-exclusive tag, I believe it is ridiculously disrespectful to Lamar Jackson. And I look at what Lamar Jackson has done so far in his career. Lamar Jackson for his career, the man has 101 touchdown passes, 38 interceptions, 12,209 passing yards, completing 64% of his passes. He has a career record as a starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens of 45-16. The only quarterbacks in NFL history to have a better win percentage as a starting quarterback than Lamar Jackson is Roger Staubach, Tom Brady, and Patrick Mahomes. The man has won 74% of his games, and that's a minimum of 50 starts. And those stats that I read off are passing statistics. Let's go into the rushing statistics for Lamar Jackson, shall we? And that's where he makes his name as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Lamar Jackson, for his career, he has 727 carries, 24 touchdowns, 4,437 rushing yards for his career. And Lamar Jackson is the best player on the Baltimore Ravens, and he's the only elite quarterback who doesn't have a true number one receiver. In Buffalo, Josh Allen has Stephon Diggs. In Cincinnati, Joe Burrow has Ja'Marr Chase. And on some teams, T. Higgins could easily be a number one. In Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have Tyreek Hill anymore, but he does have Travis Kelce, arguably the best tight end in the NFL. At one point, Aaron Rodgers had Devontae Adams. Matthew Stafford won a Super Bowl with Cooper Kupp. Hell, Justin Herbert has Keenan Allen. Lamar Jackson doesn't have a true number one receiver who's a game breaker. These receivers that the Baltimore Ravens have put around Lamar Jackson are a complete joke. And Lamar Jackson still has won most of his games as a starting quarterback in the NFL, specifically 74% of his games Lamar Jackson has won, even with a subpar receiving core. And then when you look at the Ravens as an organization, they brought in last year, they brought in the linebacker from Chicago, and they gave him a new deal. Even Patrick Queen, the linebacker for the Ravens, and gave him a new four-year deal with the Ravens. But yet here Lamar Jackson is, as your starting quarterback, his career record is 45-16, and for his career, the man has over 100 touchdown passes. He's won an NFL MVP, and he's gotten the Ravens to the playoffs multiple times in his career. Multiple times, and he's been the one thing that the Baltimore Ravens could rely on. The one thing that they could rely on as far as production. Look at what the Ravens starting quarterbacks did this past season. With Lamar Jackson, the Ravens were 8-4. They averaged 24 points per game, and the passer rating with Lamar Jackson under center was 89.0. Without Lamar Jackson, the Ravens' career record with the quarterbacks this past year were 2-3. They averaged 13 points per game, and their passer rating was 64.5. Now, you're going to ask the question like everyone else is asking, and Lamar Jackson and his durability is a huge question mark for the Baltimore Ravens. Can Lamar Jackson stay healthy? And I understand those questions because during Lamar Jackson's first three seasons, he only missed two games. The last two seasons, he's missed 10 games. So I understand the Ravens being hesitant to give Lamar Jackson a guaranteed $230 or more million contract. I understand the hesitancy from the Ravens. I get it. Trust me, I understand. And I understand that Deshaun Watson, the $230 million that he got guaranteed from the Cleveland Browns, was an outlier. I understand that. But I look at some of these other contracts from notable quarterbacks in the NFL and the guaranteed money that they're getting, and they haven't even accomplished anywhere close to the success that Lamar Jackson has accomplished. Matthew Stafford, $130 million guaranteed. Russell Wilson, $165 million guaranteed. Kyler Murray, $189.5 million guaranteed. And Deshaun got $230 mil guaranteed from the Browns. And none of these quarterbacks I've just named have accomplished what Lamar Jackson has accomplished. And I thought it was funny how once the Ravens placed the non-exclusive tag on Lamar Jackson, all of a sudden, we hear from teams like the Commanders, the Falcons, the Dolphins, the Raiders. None of these teams are interested in Lamar Jackson. And I thought that was kind of funny because when I think about the Washington Commanders, who is the starting quarterback for the Commanders this year? Sam Howell? Give me a break. Stop it. Lamar Jackson would be a star with the Washington Commanders. Let's go to the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, I love Tua. But Tua has a concussion issue, and we don't know if Tua is going to be able to stay healthy and not be concussed for future seasons to come. Why wouldn't the Dolphins be interested in Lamar Jackson's services? Because I believe that Lamar Jackson will be more dependable than even Tua over the next 3 or 4 years. God bless Tua. I hope Tua can have a long career in the NFL and can overcome his concussion issue. But that's definitely a question for the Miami Dolphins and Tua for the next few years. What about the Atlanta Falcons? Who in Atlanta is a franchise quarterback that they're building around? I like their quarterback that they had this previous year, the quarterback that went to UC. I like him a lot, the rookie that played last year with the Falcons. And I think he got tremendous upside. That's Desmond Ridder. I like Desmond Ridder a lot. But Desmond Ridder hasn't proven anything to be a franchise quarterback who you can build around. And I believe Atlanta would be the perfect destination for Lamar Jackson. Like, I believe that Lamar Jackson in Atlanta, in that culture, the way he will cultivate that city, the way that they came to the stadium and supported Michael Vick, I believe they would have that same support for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the reincarnation of Michael Vick. Could you imagine Lamar in Atlanta? I would love him with the Falcons. And then you look at the Panthers. They're talking about how they may draft a young quarterback in this year's upcoming draft. Maybe it's C.J. Stroud. Maybe it's Bryce Young. I understand that. But neither C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young are proven like Lamar is because they haven't played a single snap in the NFL. But yet, people are trying to talk about there's no collusion in the NFL. That's ridiculous. We know what it is. We know what's going on here. And I think it's disrespectful for the Ravens to only give Lamar Jackson the non-exclusive franchise tag. But the reason why they gave Lamar Jackson the non-exclusive franchise tag and not the exclusive franchise tag is because they believe that no other team in the NFL is going to give Lamar Jackson a long-term deal with the guaranteed money that he wants. Because they're talking to these other teams. The owner for the Baltimore Ravens, he's talking to these other owners in the NFL. And so he knows that no other team is going to offer Lamar Jackson the contract that he wants. So hell yeah, it's collusion going on. It's undeniable that collusion is going on when it comes to Lamar Jackson. And I also thought it was funny how all these teams came out and said they weren't interested in Lamar Jackson. What was the whole point in coming out and saying we're not interested in Lamar Jackson services? Why? Why? Like, what was the reason in doing that? That it was almost as if they were trying to get ahead of it. And why even say something at all? Just don't even say anything if you're not interested in Lamar Jackson. There's a bank robbery by your home. You know you didn't do it. So why you got to come out and say, I didn't rob that bank? What's the point? You know you weren't there. You know you didn't do it. I thought that was odd as well. But again, like, do I believe that the Ravens should give Lamar a contract that's $230 million guaranteed? No. But I do believe Lamar Jackson deserves at least $200 million guaranteed. At least. And he damn sure deserves more guaranteed money than Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, and Matthew Stafford. Aaron Rodgers is making $150.7 million guaranteed this year. Aaron Rodgers is the only quarterback on this list who's accomplished more than Lamar Jackson. But I think the Ravens, again, have underappreciated Lamar Jackson, and I think it's very, very disrespectful that they've given him this non-exclusive franchise tag. Because even if no other team gives him a deal and he has to return back to Baltimore, instead of getting paid $45 million on the exclusive tag, he's only going to get paid $32 million. That also is disrespectful. And the one analogy I can give you is, if you're in a marriage and you and your spouse are going through some tough times, you don't tell your spouse, hey, it's okay if you go out here and date other people. I'm all right with it. Go out here and date other people. That means that is going to be a divorce. That means I'm no longer interested in being married to you anymore. If I'm allowing you to go out on dates and see what's out there in the open market, even in a relationship or a marriage, that means you don't value your partner, and either the relationship or the marriage is going to end very, very soon. Ain't no way in hell I'm allowing my wife to go out here and go on dates, even if we're going through a tough time in our marriage. It ain't happening. But those are my thoughts on Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Everybody, go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. So coming out the break, I'm going to discuss the Phoenix Suns losing Kevin Durant for the next 2 to 3 weeks. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
And welcome back to Wise Guys. These guys know sports. Here live on the Worldwide Sports Network. Everybody remember to go follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. Be sure to follow Wise Guys at Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Call to the show, 513-203-8655. 513-203-8655. That is the number to dial. Any particular topic you want to discuss, we can talk about it on the show tonight. Let's transition to the NBA. Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant. It's being reported that Kevin Durant is going to miss the next 2 to 3 weeks. This comes after Kevin Durant sprained his ankle in pregame warmups, and KD could miss the rest of the regular season with the ankle sprain. The Suns did beat the Thunder 132-101. And Devin Booker played great in that game. Booker, he had 44 points, 4 assists. Devin Booker been playing some great, great basketball lately. But when I saw Kevin Durant and the video came out of him injuring his ankle, I immediately started thinking, and I thought to myself, I said, the Phoenix Suns championship aspirations are officially over if Kevin Durant is going to miss extended time. I believe that when it comes to the Phoenix Suns, I love Devin Booker. I think Devin Booker is one of the best young players we have in the NBA, and he's been on a tear lately. Since the All-Star break, I don't think there's a player in the NBA who's currently playing better than Devin Booker. He's been playing some sensational basketball since Kevin Durant came to Phoenix and teamed up with Booker and Chris Paul and Ayton. Booker's been sensational. And I love DeAndre Ayton. I think DeAndre Ayton has to be more aggressive. And I think he's a solid number four option on a championship team. I think Chris Paul is one of the best point guards in NBA history, one of the best floor generals in NBA history, first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think Monty Williams is underrated as a head coach. He doesn't get the love that, you know, Eric Spoelstra or a Greg Popovich, you know, or even like a Taylor Jenkins gets with the Grizzlies. But Monty Williams is a good NBA head coach. Already been to an NBA Finals as a head coach. He knows how to lead a group of men. But without Kevin Durant, there is no way in hell the Phoenix Suns are going to be championship contenders. And I don't even believe that they're going to be able to get to the Western Conference Finals or get to the second round of the NBA Western Conference playoffs. I look at the Western Conference. Obviously, right now, the Denver Nuggets are the number one team in the Western Conference. The Denver Nuggets right now, they are 46-20, been playing some good basketball lately. For the majority of the season, the Nuggets have been the number one seed in the Western Conference. Number two, you got the Kings. They're 39-26. The Grizzlies are 39-26 as well. Suns come in at fourth with a 37-29 record. Clippers are 35-33. But I look at the Suns. In the first round, if they don't have Kevin Durant, I don't see them being able to beat a Clippers team with Kawhi Leonard, with Paul George, with Russell Westbrook. I think the Clippers would have the advantage and would be the favorites in a first-round series against the Suns. If the Suns had to play the Warriors, despite the Warriors' struggles on the road this year, I don't believe the Suns could beat the Warriors without a healthy Kevin Durant. I would favor the Warriors in that series as well. If the Suns had to play the Mavericks, I believe that the Mavericks would be able to beat the Suns without the services of Kevin Durant. So if Kevin Durant misses the rest of the regular season and he returns for the first round of the NBA playoffs, I believe the Suns will be okay. Because here's the one thing about Kevin Durant and what makes Kevin Durant different than other NBA stars. Kevin Durant doesn't need a lot of time to develop chemistry on the basketball court. The man is one of the best scorers in NBA history. For his career, Kevin Durant averages 27 points per game on 50% shooting from the floor, and he averaged 27 points per game in Oklahoma City. That was ranked first in team history. He averaged 26 points per game in Golden State. That was second in team history. He averaged 29 points per game, which was ranked first in team history in Brooklyn. So Kevin Durant doesn't need a lot of time to develop chemistry with his teammates once he returns back to the floor. Kevin Durant could shoot 17 shots and score 30 points on 17 shots. That's how efficient Kevin Durant is as a basketball player. And I felt like when he came back from his injury, he fit in perfectly with the Suns. In his debut with the Suns against the Hornets, Kevin Durant had 23 points, shot 10 of 15 from the floor, 6 rebounds. He follows that up. They go to Chicago. Kevin Durant has 20 points, shoots 7 of 10 from the floor, 70% from the floor. Very, very efficient night. And then Sunday afternoon in Dallas, on ABC, Kevin Durant probably had his best performance so far since he's been a member of the Phoenix Suns. 37 points, 12 of 17 shooting from the floor, and he had 37 points. So I don't believe that it's going to take a lot of time for Kevin Durant to get into a flow and a rhythm with his teammates once he returns back to the floor. That's how great Kevin Durant is. But if he misses any more time than the rest of the regular season and he misses some time in the playoffs, I don't think the Suns are going to be able to win without Kevin Durant. I think they'll easily be a first-round exit without Kevin Durant being on the floor. You remember, when they traded for Kevin Durant, they traded Cam Johnson. They traded Miles Bridges. They traded Jay Crowder as well, so they don't have the depth that they had in previous seasons on this Phoenix Suns team. This Suns team is not as deep as it has been over the last 2 or 3 years. So they gotta try to figure out a way to keep pace in the Western Conference. I mean, and it's a gauntlet in the West. Like I just said, Nuggets at number one. The Kings and the Grizzlies both have identical records in the 2-3 spot. Clippers are in the fifth spot, 35 and 33. Warriors are 34 and 33 in the sixth spot. Timberwolves are 34 and 33 in the seventh spot. And the Mavs are 34 and 33 in the eighth spot. So the Warriors, Timberwolves, and Mavs all have identical records. And they're all three, 6 through 8 in the West. And I look at the Suns over the next couple games. Saturday, they are home against the Kings. That could be a loss. I like the way Mike Brown has this Sacramento Kings basketball team playing right now. They score a lot of points. They give up a lot of points, but they score a lot of points. And De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, they're playing some good basketball. That could be a loss for the Suns. Monday, they're at the Warriors. The Suns are. That's a game where the Warriors could beat the Suns. The Warriors are awful on the road, but they're tremendous at home. So I would jot that down as a loss for the Suns as well. Tuesday, they're home against Giannis and the Bucks. That's a loss without Kevin Durant. They got the Magic after that. They could beat the Magic without KD. And then they're in Oklahoma City, March 19th. They can beat the Thunder without Kevin Durant. And then they're in Los Angeles against Anthony Davis in the Lakers, March 22nd on ESPN. That game is a toss-up without Kevin Durant. It's a toss-up. The Lakers have been playing some good basketball lately. They really, really have. So, again, if Kevin Durant is out for extended periods of times, and I feel like he's going to be out past the first round of the playoffs, the Phoenix Suns are going to be an early playoff exit team. But if Kevin Durant can come back for the first round of the NBA playoffs, I think they have a chance. The one thing they need to try and do is avoid the play-in. They got to stay in the top six in the West so they can avoid the play-in tournament. Because if you have to play in the play-in, there's no guarantee that Kevin Durant will be back. There's no guarantee. So that's my thoughts on the Phoenix Suns and them losing Kevin Durant. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys No Sports. Coming out the break, I'm going to discuss Aaron Rodgers and him potentially going to the New York Jets. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back to Wise Guys. These guys know sports. Here live on the Worldwide Sports Network. Everybody remember, go follow the Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. Be sure to follow Wise Guys at Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Call to the show, 513-203-8655. 513-203-8655 is the number to dial. Any particular topic you want to discuss, call to the show. We can definitely talk about it on the show. I am very, very excited for this weekend because on Sunday we have the selection show So we're going to get a chance to see all the teams that's going to be a part of the NCAA tournament this year. So I'm definitely excited about that. I love March. I love this time of year because we get a chance to see these college basketball teams compete at a high level. And I want to see who's going to win the championship this year in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. I'm excited for it, for sure. And then it's actually, I feel like when you get into college basketball, it's like an appetizer when you go to dinner. College basketball, the NCAA tournament in March is the appetizer. And the entree for me is the NBA playoffs in April, May, and June. But I'm more of an NBA fan than a college basketball fan. But college basketball in March Madness, it definitely is exciting. And I love seeing the underdogs make big moves and win big games in the month of March. So definitely excited about the selection show Sunday. But let's transition back to the NFL. Let's transition to the New York Jets. As sources say, the New York Jets' optimism growing in that organization, and they are excited because they have the possibility of trading for Aaron Rodgers. This is according to ESPN's Diana Russini. If you don't know, earlier in the week, Jets owner Woody Johnson, head coach Robert Saleh, offensive coordinator Hackett, they flew out to California to meet with Aaron Rodgers, and they're trying to recruit Aaron Rodgers to New York. So when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and the possibility of Aaron Rodgers going to New York, I believe it's two different things at play here. I believe that from the Jets' perspective, absolutely Aaron Rodgers would make the New York Jets a better football team this year compared to what they were last year. Last year, the Jets were a mess. They were a mess last year. And I thought offensively, that was where they struggled. Like, they struggled offensively. Defensively, they were sensational. I thought the Jets had one of the best defenses in the NFL last year. And I like some of their pieces that they have on the defensive side of the ball. Defensively, you got Sauce Gardner. I believe Sauce Gardner is going to be the best cornerback in the NFL in the next 2 or 3 years, maybe sooner. You got Sheldon Rankins up front. You got Carl Lawson as well. Quentin Williams up front. And then at linebacker, you got C.J. Mosley. You got Kawan Alexander. I like the Jets' defense. And they got Robert Saleh as their head coach. Remember, Robert Saleh was a hell of a defensive coordinator in San Francisco with the Niners. Offensively, they got some talent as well. You got Breece Hall as your running back. He's going to be coming off of that injury that he suffered last year. But he had tremendous, tremendous production before his injury. And he has tremendous upside. At receiver, you got Garrett Wilson. You got Corey Davis. You got Denzel Mims as well. Elijah Moore. Offensively, there's talent on the New York Jets. So I think if you bring in a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, it's instantly going to make the Jets a better football team because quarterback was their biggest issue last year. And last year, there were times where the New York Jets didn't even score touchdowns in games. Didn't even score a touchdown in games. And that was the biggest issue with them, their inconsistency at quarterback. They had Mike White. Zach Wilson was pathetic last year. I mean, he was god-awful last year for this New York Jets football team. And, again, defense wasn't their issue. I thought their defense did everything they possibly could. But at some point, you need your offense to score points. You got to have your offense score points at some point. Last year, they lost in Week 11 to the Patriots 10-3. They lost Week 16 to the Jaguars 19-3. They lost 124-9. So three times this past year, they didn't even score 10 points. Didn't even score 10 points. So Aaron Rodgers, when he comes into that locker room, if the Jets make this trade for Aaron Rodgers, they instantly, offensively, will be better because Mike White, Zach Wilson, and Joe Flacco are too inconsistent. And when you in the AFC and you're going up against the likes of Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson, if he stays with the Ravens, you need an elite quarterback to compete with those other teams who have elite quarterbacks. Mike White, Zach Wilson, they are not enough. They are not enough, and they are too inconsistent. And you look at the New York Jets as a franchise overall. This is since 2012. The Jets have the fifth most starting quarterbacks in the NFL since 2012. Only the Browns, Texans, Commanders, and Bears have more starting quarterbacks since 2012 than the New York Jets. The New York Jets have had 13 starting quarterbacks since 2012. 13. So Aaron Rodgers is going to give them stability at the quarterback position, and that's something that they won't have to worry about next season. Now, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and whether or not I believe that this is a good move for Aaron Rodgers and his career and his quest to win his second Super Bowl of his career, I believe that this is not a move going to the Jets that's going to help Aaron Rodgers get closer to winning his second Super Bowl. Let me explain why. In the NFC, I believe that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFC. Outside of Jalen Hurts, who else would you consider an elite quarterback in the NFC? And on top of that, in the NFC, I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers and maybe the New Orleans Saints, now that they have Derek Carr in the mix. You could throw Dallas in there, but Dak Prescott is so inconsistent. I don't know if I can say that the Dallas Cowboys are one of the favorites in the NFC. But either way, I think the road to prosperity and the road to the Super Bowl is easier in the NFC than it is in the AFC. In the AFC, it's a gauntlet. It's a gauntlet. You got to go through Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. If you want to win another Super Bowl, Aaron, going to the New York Jets is going to decrease your chances of being able to win another Super Bowl. And I'm not saying I want Aaron to stay in Green Bay, because I've been on record saying that it's time for the Packers to move on from Aaron Rodgers. It's time. It's time, because Aaron Rodgers, he's become more trouble than he's worth. And I think it's time to move in a different direction. And last year, statistically, Aaron Rodgers had one of his worst seasons from a stat standpoint. Last year, he had only 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3,695 passing yards. He completed 65% of his passes. And according to Aaron Rodgers' standards, that's a down season for him. Other quarterbacks would love to have a season like Aaron Rodgers had this previous year. But for him, that's a down year. So I think when it comes to for Aaron Rodgers, I think for him to get back to another Super Bowl, if I was him, I would rather it be in the NFC than the AFC. I think the AFC is going to be tough. And in the AFC East alone, I'm not sure that the New York Jets are better than the Buffalo Bills. Do I believe that Aaron Rodgers is still an elite quarterback? I do believe Aaron Rodgers is still an elite quarterback. Like, I don't want Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay because I don't believe he can play anymore. I want Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay because all the chatter and the off-the-field press conferences and him being a diva, it's not worth it if you're not getting to the Super Bowl and winning Super Bowls. That's why I want him out of Green Bay. I'm tired of being held hostage by Aaron Rodgers as a Packers fan. And I know other Packer fans feel the same way. And it seems like general manager Brian Gutekunst of the Packers and Mark Murphy, they're feeling the same way. They're tired of being held hostage by Aaron Rodgers. Every year we get to this point of the year, and Aaron Rodgers is contemplating retirement, and he got to go into these darkness retreats and doesn't know if he wants to play anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. If you can't commit to the Packers over the next three years and commit in the offseason, I don't want you a part of the Green Bay Packers organization anymore. I don't. We've seen other quarterbacks who have lost great receivers, and they won NFL MVP. Patrick Mahomes did it. Patrick Mahomes last year lost Tyreek Hill, and Patrick Mahomes attended OTAs last offseason. Aaron Rodgers doesn't attend OTAs. He doesn't attend OTAs. Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up until he has to show up, and that is in training camp in August. So that's the reason why I want Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay. I still believe Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback. I'm hearing a lot of people, NFL analysts, NFL insiders, they don't believe Aaron Rodgers can play anymore. And I think that's crazy. The man just won back-to-back NFL MVPs in 2020 and in 2021. He had like 80-something touchdowns and 9 interceptions in those 2 MVP seasons combined. The man didn't even throw 10 interceptions in those 2 years when he won NFL MVP over the last few years. So I still think Aaron Rodgers can play, but I just don't want all the extra that comes with Aaron Rodgers moving forward. And again, if I'm him, I think he's going to make the Jets significantly better, and I do believe that they are a playoff team in the AFC. I don't know if they're better than the Buffalo Bills or even the Miami Dolphins, but I think they're a playoff team in the AFC with Aaron Rodgers under center. But I believe that when you get into the NFL playoffs in the AFC, you got to go through Lawrence. You got to go through Burrow. You got to go through Allen. You got to go through Mahomes. You got to go through possibly Lamar Jackson. It's just a gauntlet. It's going to be difficult. And there's no guarantees in the NFL. Everyone can't beat Tom Brady and go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and win a Super Bowl in their first year. Matthew Stafford was able to do it with the LA Rams, but that Rams team, they won a Super Bowl because of their defense. And Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, Von Miller dominating on that playoff run. Matthew Stafford wasn't great on that playoff run. He had a pretty good playoff game against the Buccaneers that year. But in the NFC Championship in the Super Bowl, Matthew Stafford was average. He wasn't great. But we'll see if the trade gets done. We still have to find out if Aaron Rodgers wants to play this year. We got to see if Aaron Rodgers wants to play this year. And if he wants to play, it sounds like it's coming down to him either retiring or playing for the Jets. The Packers organization, it seemed like they're ready to move off of Aaron Rodgers and move on to the Jordan Love era. And I support that decision 100%. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_Wait. It's also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. After the break, I'm going to discuss the Draymond Green and the Dylan Brooks beef. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back to Wise Guys, These Guys Know Sports. Here live on the Worldwide Sports Network. If I remember, go follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_Wait. It's also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. I have breaking news that just came across my phone here on the show. The Chicago Bears are trading their number one overall pick to the Carolina Panthers in exchange for the number 9 overall pick, the number 61 overall pick, a 2024 first-round pick, a 2025 second-round pick, and wide receiver DJ Moore. So another weapon for Justin Fields in Chicago. Shout out to the Bears. I like that. I like the fact that they're trading for DJ Moore. DJ Moore is a very, very underrated receiver. I think he can make tremendous plays in the open field, and I thought he did a great job leading that Panthers receiving core over the last few seasons. So now Justin Fields gets another weapon in DJ Moore. Remember, they did trade last year for Chase Claypool. So they got Chase Claypool now and DJ Moore as receivers on the Bears football team. That's going to help Justin Fields. And the Panthers now have the number one overall pick this year. And I assume that this is a move that the Panthers made so they can move up in the draft and possibly select C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. That's what I would assume. the Panthers are trying to get them a quarterback to build their franchise around. And in order to be an elite football team, you got to have an elite quarterback. So I like this move for both teams. I really, really do. And for the Bears, this shows Justin Fields that you believe in him. This shows Justin Fields that you believe he is your franchise quarterback who you can build your football team around now. Because remember, there were rumors out of Chicago about how the Bears should trade Justin Fields and select either C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young with the number one overall pick and move off of Justin Fields. And I thought that was unfair. I really thought that was unfair because I feel like Justin Fields, he's never had the weapons around him to be successful. I feel like this past year, the weapons were mediocre at best. That's being nice. Last year, Justin Fields, 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 2,242 passing yards. He completed 60% of his passes. But who was he throwing the ball to last year? They made that move for Chase Claypool, and Chase Claypool is he's all right. But Chase Claypool is not to be confused with a Jamar Chase, a Stephon Diggs, a Justin Jefferson, a Davante Adams. That's not who Chase Claypool is. He's not even as good as T. Higgins is. But I look at the Bears receiving core. Byron Pringle, Equanimeous St. Brown, Nikhil Harry. They're going to add DJ Moore now, a part of this receiving room. So I like that move. In the backfield, you still got David Montgomery. You still got Khalil Herbert. And then they also got Darnell Mooney as well as one of their receivers. So I like them adding DJ Moore, and I think it's going to help Justin Fields. You got to put some weapons around Justin Fields. Put some weapons around him and see if he can play. See if he can play and actually be a franchise quarterback you can build your team around. And again, for the Panthers, you got to go back to the drawing board. I love this for the Panthers because now you can pick either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud and build your team around your young quarterback. You got to have a quarterback if you want to compete. And I like the move for the Panthers and the Bears. But with all that being said, let's transition back to the NBA and let's talk about the Dillon Brooks and the Draymond Green beef in the NBA. So Draymond Green and Dillon Brooks, they've been going at it in the media. So Dillon Brooks started all of this. He started all of this when he was talking about Draymond Green. And this is what Dillon Brooks said on Draymond Green. I don't like Draymond at all. I just don't like Golden State. I don't like anything to do with them. Draymond talks a lot, gets away with a lot too. His game is cool with Golden State. But if you put him anywhere else, you're not going to know who Draymond is. He plays with heart, plays hard, knows the ins and outs of their defense. I guess that's why they like him over there. That was Dillon Brooks on Draymond Green. So Draymond Green, he went on his podcast and he responded to Dillon Brooks and his comments. Take a listen to Draymond Green.
If you ever wondered why the Memphis Grizzlies is not ready to compete for a championship, look no further than this idiot right here. I'm trying to figure out why they like you in Memphis. Or do they like you in Memphis? I'm not sure your teammates like you. Your level of understanding the game of basketball is at a fan level. And yet, y'all, you running around talking about a dynasty? The dynasty starts after you, not with you. And that's just a fact. I know dynasty-like players. And they aren't clowns.
That was Draymond Green responding to Dillon Brooks' recent comments on Draymond Green. First and foremost, I want to say this when it comes to the Draymond Green versus Dillon Brooks beef. I love this. I love it. I am here for the smoke, ladies and gentlemen. I feel like this is what the NBA is missing. I ain't got no issues with Draymond Green and Dillon Brooks chirping at each other. I love it from a basketball standpoint because if we get an opportunity to see the Grizzlies and the Warriors in the playoffs, I believe that this makes the series even more entertaining from a fan's perspective, because we know that Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks do not like each other. They don't like each other. And I'm okay with it. I am okay with it. I am here for the smoke. I'm here for the smoke. This is what the NBA is missing. I miss the days when Michael Jordan was beefing and couldn't stand the Bad Boy Pistons. I miss the days and the rivalries with LeBron James and the Boston Celtics, who had Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen. I miss the days when the Cavaliers and the Warriors competed in the NBA Finals year after year after year. I miss those rivalries between those two teams who did not like each other. But with that being said, when it comes to this beef, I got to roll with Draymond Green on this beef between him and Dylan Brooks, because I need to remind Dylan Brooks of the role and who the hell Draymond Green is. When I think about Dylan Brooks this year, statistically, he had a year where he has took a step back from a statistical standpoint. He's down in points and 3-point field goal percentage and rebounds per game. He's taking a step back this year compared to what it was last year. But Dylan Brooks, he knows what it's like to be a Draymond Green, because on the Memphis Grizzlies, that's exactly who he is and the role that he has on the Memphis Grizzlies basketball team. Dylan Brooks, you know good and damn well, everything is not about scoring. Everything isn't always about being the best player on a championship contender. And Draymond Green, to his credit, has done an outstanding job on the Golden State Warriors basketball team during their dynasty. This is something that I believe Dylan Brooks is disrespecting Draymond Green and not understanding the role that Draymond Green plays on that Warriors basketball team. And it's funny, again, because Dylan Brooks plays the same role on the Memphis Grizzlies. On that Grizzlies basketball team, Dylan Brooks is the enforcer in a way. He's the player that has defensive tenacity. He's a great passer as well. And he's the player that the opposing team usually doesn't like. Doesn't that sound familiar? Because that's who Draymond Green is for the Warriors. Draymond Green is the enforcer. Draymond Green is the player that opposing teams, when they face the Warriors, do not like. Draymond Green is the player who makes things uncomfortable at times on the Golden State Warriors basketball team. And yet Dylan Brooks is disrespecting Draymond like he doesn't understand Draymond's role. I think that's crazy, because he plays the exact same role as Draymond Green does on the Warriors. That's the same role that Brooks plays with the Grizzlies. But here's another thing that Dylan Brooks needs to take into consideration. Draymond Green is more accomplished than you are, Dylan. Draymond Green has done a better job on playing his role with the Warriors than you have done on your role with the Grizzlies. Let's look at Draymond Green's career accomplishments and awards. Draymond Green is a four-time NBA champion. He's a four-time NBA All-Star. He won the NBA Defensive Player of the Year award back in 2017. He's a four-time All-NBA first-team player, three-time All-NBA second-team player. He led the NBA in steals in 2017. And when you ask Steph Curry, when you ask Klay Thompson, when you ask Steve Kerr, Andre Iguodala, Joe Lacob, members of the Warriors organization, when you ask them about one of the main reasons why they are contenders and been a dynasty who've won four NBA championships, they always give Draymond Green his credit that he definitely deserves as a part of the reason why they've won championships. They always give Draymond Green his credit for it. And honestly, I would make the argument that Draymond Green has done a better job as playing his role on the Warriors than you've done on the Memphis Grizzlies, Dylan. Like, I just think it's disrespectful for Dylan Brooks to come out and disrespect Draymond Green the way that he did. I like it, but I think it's disrespectful given the fact that he plays the exact same role on the Grizzlies that Green plays on the Warriors, but he also is forgetting about the accomplishments that Draymond Green has accomplished in his career. Not to mention, the few times when the Warriors won their championships, they went up against the Grizzlies in the NBA playoffs. Happened last year. Last year, the Grizzlies and the Warriors played against each other. I believe it was in the second round of the NBA playoffs. And the Warriors beat the Grizzlies in six games. Now, I know John Morant was out for the last few of those games in that series, but your Memphis Grizzlies have not beaten the Golden State Warriors when it matters the most, Dylan. This also is one of the reasons why I don't believe it's a rivalry between the Grizzlies and the Warriors. A rivalry is when you win, I win, and we go back and forth. Okay? That's a rivalry. For years in college football, people were talking about the Ohio State and the Michigan rivalry, and I had to remind Wolverine fans, this ain't no damn rivalry. The Buckeyes won, I believe it was like, I don't know the exact number, but it was at least like 10 or maybe even more, 10 or more games in that rivalry against the Wolverines. At that point, it's no longer a rivalry. It's not a rivalry. And I know the 1 year when the Warriors were in the play-in, the Grizzlies did eliminate Steph Curry and the Warriors. But that was the only time where I've seen the Grizzlies actually beat the Warriors. And that's the biggest issue I have with the Memphis Grizzlies. They haven't won anything. The way that the Grizzlies talk as if they are champions. They are not champions. I love Ja Morant. I love Desmond Bane. I love Dylan Brooks. I love Jaren Jackson. I love their entire basketball team. I like Jenkins as a head coach, but they have not accomplished anything near what the Golden State Warriors have accomplished. Dylan Brooks has not accomplished anything close to what Draymond Green has accomplished. Put some respect on Draymond Green's name, Dylan. Like, seriously. Like, people, this ain't no rivalry. A rivalry is a matchup between two teams who go back and forth. The Warriors are the more proven basketball team, and they are the championship basketball team who contends year in and year out for a championship. The Warriors are the standard. The Grizzlies are trying to get where the Warriors currently are. And honestly, when you look at the Memphis Grizzlies moving forward, we know the off-the-court issues that Ja Morant is currently dealing with, but the Grizzlies got issues of their own. Dylan Brooks don't need to be worried about Draymond Green. Friday, Brandon Clark tore his left Achilles. I think Brandon Clark is the best offensive rebounder in the NBA. He's gone for the season. Also, Steven Adams, his knee injury will be reevaluated in 4 weeks. I think Steven Adams is the one veteran in this locker room who can command the attention of these young basketball players on this Memphis Grizzlies team who are feeling themselves. And he's gone for the next 4 weeks. So Dylan Brooks needs to be worried about how the Grizzlies are going to stay in contention in the Western Conference, considering they don't have Ja Morant right now. Brandon Clark is gone for the season, and Steven Adams will be reevaluated in 4 weeks. You got bigger issues to worry about, Dylan Brooks, more than worrying about Draymond Green and why you don't like Draymond Green. You see yourself in Draymond Green. You play the same role he plays with the Warriors on the Grizzlies. Respect Draymond Green and put some respect on his name, bro. And I think you have tremendous upside and is going to be a great contributor for the Memphis Grizzlies moving forward. But you don't need to be disrespecting Draymond. He's a champion, and he's earned his stripes in the NBA. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at Wise Guys _ Wait. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. Make sure to follow Wise Guys at Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Going to be a great, great weekend in sports. Got a lot of NBA action going on. Again, we have the selection show on Sunday, so I'm definitely excited about that. But I'm Trey Larkins on the Worldwide Sports Network. I'll be back on next week discussing the latest in sports news. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.